The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, the pandemic has made extra demands of people in all sectors, but none more so than those who work in the healthcare system. And the people within that system are seeking recognition for their efforts during the COVID-19 era. The Health Group of Unions will meet HSE officials at the Workplace Relations Commission this morning to discuss what constitutes fair recognition of their members across the country. To get into this, I'm joined now by President of the Irish Medical Organisation, Aine Kelly. Morning, Aine.
Good morning, Anton.
Very difficult thing, I would have thought, even with the best will in the world, to work out, because depending on what bit of the health sector you work in, this can have had a different impact. And if you're in the very front line dealing with the very worst of COVID, it's almost impossible to adequately recompense you.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's really, this is more about a special recognition rather than trying to compensate for what people have gone through. There's no way you could adequately do that. But it is about a special recognition which hasn't occurred in Ireland to date and is occurring in other countries. And I suppose there have been very many warm words and they're very welcome, but they're not really enough because, of course, it's not really about compensation as much as people are exhausted. And they have been exhausted for a long time. I mean, in a way, I'm not sure if you can remember back, but prior to COVID-19, we did have a very understaffed service from the perspective of clinical staff, you know, providing frontline services up until then anyway. Lots of waiting lists and, you know, queues getting into ED and so on. And I suppose once COVID-19 came, these same staff had to work much longer hours, had to work in very traumatising conditions, you know, tiring situations. And they've been working and we had to change the way, I suppose we've all had to change the way we work so much again and again and repurpose the service again and again throughout this time. And of course, a lot of our, healthcare workers have been exposed to COVID-19 in the workplace and many of them have become ill with COVID during that period
and
of time.
Go back for a minute, Aine. You said that it has been done, you think, relatively well in other sectors or in other countries. Where is the,
I mean, our neighbouring countries have all had meetings with health unions and have provided compensatory packages of some kind. It's really more special recognition, whether it was to give them time off or some bonus or whatever. It depends on different services may wish for different things that will work better for them. But I suppose, like, I'm conscious within the medical side how hard it is for people to take leave in normal times and how so many of our staff have not been able to take leave. And when they take leave, they're being disturbed and coming back into work anyway. So, you know, we did a survey in the Irish Medical Organisation some months ago about burnout, and there are very high levels of burnout within the health sector, within the doctors particularly, and I think, you know, this is something that requires people to take time to recuperate so that they have time to, you know, to rest and to stop taking on so much work, really, you know. And unfortunately, I suppose vocational people take on more work maybe than they're able for, and then are exhausted and continue trying to do that. And it doesn't work. It's not healthy. And in the long run, it doesn't work. So it's
but
not
is
good for
the
health
scope
service
there for that
either.
Is the scope there for that to be done, Aine? Because if you look at the amount of R&R time that you would like to give the people who have gone through such a difficult 18 months, the system, as you point out, it's not like it was neck deep in available free capacity before COVID. So is it even possible to release staff if the government does want to?
Yeah, well, that's what the discussion is going to be about, really. There has to be discussion. And I think my colleagues were telling me that they haven't really been able to get serious engagement with management at the moment. I don't think they had, the management may not have had the power to provide a special recognition and to discuss on this. And that's really what's needed, is to actually meet, discuss, recognise this, and actually come up with a post-crisis plan as well. Because the expectations around what's going to happen as soon as the crisis element is over, that needs to be discussed, because we had already, there are backlogs, massive backlogs now, but, you know, the people who are already exhausted cannot provide immediate, upping their service for that when they've already been upping their service for COVID-19. So it's about, I think, having some honest, genuine talking about this and working out, you know, what can we live with, what, you know, and being fair to the public about what can be achieved within the time, you know, within reasonable periods of time, so that they can expect that there will be, that the staff will have to have some rest, that they need to have some time off and recuperate and try and become healthier again so that they can provide a very good quality service. I mean, it's in nobody's interest to have exhausted staff trying to get back into providing, services that were already stretched anyway beforehand without recognition. I think it's about agreement on people being able to take time off and not being disturbed when they're
indeed
on their time off.
Let me bring you a couple of the text reaction, because obviously the work that has been done has been hugely important. But oddly, a lot of people saying effectively you knew what this was when you signed up for it. So text saying, why should they get extra? What about the entertainment industry? They haven't worked in 18 months. Typical public servants, take, do your job and get over it. Another, as a private sector worker who earns less than 30 grand with no pension, it is a bit much. Well-paid and pensioned staff, health workers moaning because there's a pandemic on. I'm a mechanic. Can I refuse to do a service on a car until I get recognition? Another, did they do any unpaid work? If not, move on. And that texter says they're a GP.
Right. Okay. No, I mean, I understand that, and of course, not everybody in the country has had. I mean, you know, has had the privilege that we have had of being able to contribute to COVID-19, to actually protecting people, and we're very, very conscious of that. I mean, we've been working on this for 18 months or more, in which we have been, you know, even no matter how exhausted we were always recognised the fact that we were able to help people when they were at most of need, because the country was in a massive crisis and we were able to help. That's not something we take lightly either. However, humans, we're just humans with, you know, human bodies that require rest, that require to be able to get better and over illnesses that they've had during this year when they're really struggling, trying to work with illness and so on, trying to, you know, and trying to, I suppose, provide the best service that's needed for the public. You know, in a way, you know, I suppose what we have to provide is a safe service for the public. And part of providing a safe service is being well and being able to, come up with good decisions about healthcare and so on. And if people are tired, that puts them at risk. It puts the public at risk of maybe the health service not being so effective for them.
There's a little bit of skepticism about whether or not the NHS are covered themselves in glory as a comparator. Tech saying, my daughter works in an NHS hospital. The recognition they received was a badge and 4 hours extra holidays.
Right. Okay. And that's what needs to be discussed here. I think it's just having a meeting with the management is what's really required. I'm not asking particularly for anything in particular myself, and I'm sure most of my colleagues aren't either. But what we do need is to actually have a discussion about this with management, because can't be business as usual. Because what is business as usual within the healthcare service anyway? We've had to massively change what we've been doing for the last year, and you can't ask people who are ill. All they're going to do is lose staff. People who have to say, I have to retire now because I can no longer continue, and you're going to lose, you know, and staff will move elsewhere when they can start moving to other countries as well. You know, we don't have the most attractive healthcare service for people to work in. I think many of our colleagues will work in Ireland because they love Ireland and they love, you know, the families and so on. But from a healthcare perspective, our service has always been somewhat unattractive in comparison to other countries, and we have to retain staff. So we have to make sure that the goodwill that people have.
Let me separate out the two things, because there's obviously a health and safety aspect and a wellness aspect, which is, can you get enough time off if that's what's required for people to recuperate? And that'll be a matter of negotiation and availability within the system.
Yeah.
The other side of it is recognition, is the simple thing of saying you are appreciated and there is a sense of national gratitude for the work that you did. Is that rendered moot by the mere fact that you have to negotiate it? Can you turn around to people and say, here is your union negotiated, agreement mandated gratitude?
I know what you mean. I suppose that's the problem, is that you shouldn't have to negotiate it. Other countries have to necessarily wait until the unions were asking for special recognition. And, you know, and I think the country has been slow at coming to this particular perspective, because we've been talking about, you know, how wonderful it is. You know, because the health service is made up of people, and those people have worked so hard and put themselves at risk you know, for the purpose of protecting each other and protecting the country and looking after the people of this country. And I suppose in a way it's about, you know, something meaningful, an engagement that is not about misusing people's goodwill as well. It's about, you know, coming to the, looking at the future, what's going to happen next, and how are people's, how are people's goodwill going to be maintained? How is their health going to be maintained? How are they going to be able to provide a service that the public need in Ireland? And, you know, it's, we are a bit, we have been underinvested for many, many years, and we need to try and bring more staff into the health service in the first place. We were very under strength. I know in public health we were extremely under strength, and that made it extremely difficult for us to tackle the job that needs to be done in Ireland. And that's the same for ICUs, the, you know, the intensive care units. They don't have enough beds.
Indeed, but
so
what's
on.
Interesting is, as you talk about the impact on sectors within the health system, there's a lot of people pointing out that the other sectors were stressed and other sectors were similarly went over and above with no reward during the pandemic. For instance, did clinicians work over and beyond contracted hours, or were they just busier during normal times? It's sickening to see those of privilege
many,
wanting
many
more.
Hours longer than they need to. I mean, the European Working Time Directive that requires that workers don't work more than, you know, 48 hours average or whatever per week and so on. And that's not even implemented properly in Ireland anyway in medicine. And I'm sure, and I don't know about cancer for other branches of healthcare, but I do know that that directive was left behind.
And there's a few
year.
As well, Anna, talking about the potential of,
so
I suppose.
You know, they were working
very, very long hours. Indeed, I want to raise the issue
of precedent. And not all of the time,
precedent.
I'm sure, you know, not everybody
Anna, I want to raise the issue of precedent if the government
younger,
does make the...
Anna,
sorry, Anna, please. I want to raise the issue of precedent if the government does agree to this, because a number of texts saying things like, while few appreciate the work of healthcare workers such as family carers, please remember us too. Our shift never ends. We have no entitlement to time off. We can't pick up additional work throughout the pandemic. We played our part in suppressing the virus by caring at home and alone for our most vulnerable citizens. We were burnt out too long before the pandemic. Final reaction to that. What's your concern that the government may look and say, if we open this floodgate, we'll be inundated with requests?
Well, I understand that, and I think it's about discussion and putting, you know, everybody's needs on the table. I think recognising the needs of the whole population and what people have been traumatised. I'm not looking personally for anything unfair, and I do know, I've been a carer too, and I know what it's like. It is extremely, extremely challenging, and I do think that it is a very, very hard time for people in that situation. And this is not about taking from other people. It's about trying to build something safer and healthier within the health service so that people can actually provide a really good service into the future. I mean, we're an exhausted, I suppose, frontline force that have worked so hard for the last year and a half and do need some time to recuperate. They need to be able to build their strength back again to be able to provide the service required. And I'm not, that's not taken from anybody else who's also in a similar situation. But in reality, it's very dangerous for the country if we don't look after our health service properly, if we don't look after our health, our carers properly and our healthcare workers properly.
Well,
so we will, that's all I can say about that.
We will watch this space. Anna, thank you very much for coming on the show this morning. That's Anna Kelly, who is president of the Irish Medical Organisation.